Father God, once again we come at your presence. Yes, Lord, you are always here with us. Thank you for the gift and the talents, the opportunity given to our NG4C choir. Lord, let your name be glorified. Keep them united in love, in understanding, knowing you more and making you known to the world in their life, in their ministry. In Jesus' name we pray. Father God, once again we commit ourselves before you as we come to hear your word. Lord, hide me behind your cross. Open the spiritual eyes and minds of every one of us to hear your word and be blessed by your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. How many of you happy today? Right. As we started this year, as I started this day very specially, as I said that, today is a special day. As we started the new year, and we are coming to the end of the month, all of you know that and remember what is the year and the promise for this year. This year is year of relationship. We keep on hearing about the message based on the relationship. As I remember, I do not know how many of you remember everything. There are a few things as a reminder for all of us. On the New Year Day, the message came to us as God's relationship with man. Continually, I brought few messages in sequence about how the relationship of the church with Christ. In May, I brought a message about shepherd and the sheep. That is the relationship with the church and Christ. And then in June, wine and the branches. And in July, the cornerstone and the building stone. Just a recap, who remember you, how the church is related to Christ. Am I right? Are you agree with me? Is it something for? I think this is, everything was shared in relation to the relationship with our Christ. And also, how the Holy Spirit prepares the church. That was the last message. Before I go to the message, I want to ask you two questions. All of you. That is, which is the great love in your relationship? In general, or in the world, everyone knows that God's love, no doubt about it. But among our relationship, among our relatives, friends, and everyone, which is the great love? Agape love is God's love. We are expected to have the same love with one another. In our relationship, in your family, in extended family, whose love is the highest or very closest? Sorry? Mother's love. That's the scripture says. Okay? Husband, wife. Very true. Father, friend, mother, all of them. Okay, thank you. Let it be with you. Secondly, about a relationship, which is the high level of relationship or the closest relationship? Sorry? Friend. Okay, that's good. Sorry? Anyone else? Husband and wife. Very good. So already you have the message. So in both, whether it is love or relationship, the husband and wife is the highest. How many of you believe, say amen to that? If anybody has the married couple, if anybody has any doubt in this, remember your relationship before you got married. How you had your relationship with your spouse, both of you. If you think of it, you might agree that the high level of relationship and love is between husband and wife. Agree? All of you are keeping silent. What does it mean? Do you love your spouse? Is your relationship with your spouse is intact? Whether it is there or not, God wants us. God commands us. You believe it? Yes. It is a commandment of God. Whether you wish or not. But the relationship it is started, as I said, in the first beginning, the month of January, started in Garden of Eden. There itself, God, creator or made the relationship as husband and wife. How many of you agree? Am I right? If it is, you agree, say amen to that. Amen. So that I can understand that you are with me. Okay. The same thing. He is keep on insisting. But it is going to end. So that's why the title of this message is Bridegroom and Bride. Bridegroom and bride. Hope you got the message. Who is the bridegroom? Who is the bride? That's why our life started, the mankind, the life of every human, it started in Eden. It is going to end up in heaven. Right? That's why the promises in between what God is doing and preparing in your individual life, your family life, He keep on telling the and when we come together, all of us, we become who? Who? The bride to the bridegroom. We are the bride. Hello? We are the bride. The church is the bride. God keep on commanding us that the church has to prepare for His coming. We are in the end of the year. In overall in our life, the word of God and the signs and wonders, what you are seeing and hearing about the world is reminds us all and on about the coming of the end of the day, the coming of the day. The Lord's coming is reminded to all of us. So in that case, what is expected? What is expected? The church has to prepare to meet the Lord. Who is the church? We are the church. God is expecting the church to prepare to meet Him as He is going to come. That is the relationship. The highest of all. It shows how much we love. As that's why the Bible says, yeah, let's go on to this verse. So here, the bridegroom is the church. Bridegroom and the church. Bride is the church. The bridegroom is our Lord Jesus Christ. In that case, the divine love story as an introduction now is from the Genesis to the Revelation. The Bible paints a picture of God's relationship with his people as a marriage covenant. It is not just relationship. God made a covenant with men. In the Old Testament, Israel is called God's bride. In the New Testament, the church is bride to our Lord Jesus Christ. And this is not just a poetic language. It is declaration of God's deep covenantal love. It is not just love. God made a covenant with mankind. That's why our relationship with covenant. So the bridegroom, Jesus, has pursued his bride with unwavering devotion, paying the ultimate price for her redemption. So the reference today is Ephesians chapter 5, 25 to 33. But let us read Ephesians chapter 5, verses from 25 to 27.
Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish.
Amen. Amen. In the same scripture, we will learn about both, about the church and also about Jesus himself, the bride and the bridegroom. So the church as a bride, what we understand from here? As a number one, the understanding of the church as a bride is biblical basis. And as we read in these scriptures, what he says, as the verse 27, the husbands love your wife as, okay, that is for the wives, the husband. And here, about the church, what the church has to do as a bride, as a number one is, this church has to also love her husband. So understanding of the church as a bride is to love our Lord, our Jesus Christ, as a church. And it goes on. There are many examples are given. And even the very classic example what we learn in Gospels is about Matthew 25, 1 to 13. He says about the virgin, the ten virgin. As a summary in that, what we learn is the virgins are a symbol of purity. The quality of your church as a virgin is a symbol of purity, devotion, and readiness for the divine union. Hope you understand this statement. Am I right? So as a church, what we are expected, we should be pure, devoted, and ready to meet the bridegroom. Oil represents grace, holiness, and the interior life of faith sustained by prayer. So in that parable, the bridegroom, a title for Christ who unites himself to the church in love and covenant. So the wedding feast which was prepared is the symbol of heaven, the eternal joy of the commandment or covenant. So in there it goes on. So even in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 verse 2 says, how the church is to prepare for it. 2 Corinthians chapter 11 verse 2.
For I am jealous for you with godly jealousy, for I have betrothed you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ.
So how much Paul is exalting, encouraging the church to prepare to meet the Lord. We should be as a pure virgin to Christ. Secondly, the response of the church as a bride is, number one, the church is submission to Christ. The church has to submit to Christ. How? As the wife is submissive to her husband. That's why what we read in Ephesians chapter 5, 24, he says, therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, the wife also subject to her husband. Then it goes on. The church is faithful to Christ. That's what we know from 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and 2. And thirdly, the Christ anticipation of the marriage supper of the Lamb. Revelation chapter 19 verses 7 to 9. Revelation chapter 19 verses 7 to 9.
Let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife has made herself ready. Unto her it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. Then he said to me, write, blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, these are the true sayings of God.
Yes. What do we understood from here? First of all, let the church understand about the preparation to meet the bridegroom. Secondly, the response of the church as a bride, what are expected to? We should be submissive, we should be faithful, and we should be always anticipating the coming of the Lord. Am I right? Is it clear? As a church in the sense, it is not only as only the collective, every individual has to prepare ourselves to meet the Lord. To prove that, how much we love him, how much we expect him, how much we committed and to be united and be with the Lord forever. Amen. Thirdly, as a church, the practical implication of the church as a bride. Number one is the call to personal holiness. 527. Ephesians 527. Yes.
That he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish.
See, I'm not telling of my own, from my own. Always the scriptures are supportive to what I say. That's why it is very clear, she should be not having a spot or wrinkle or any such a thing, but she should be holy without blemish. When we talk about or consider the whole church as a bride, If any member, any one of us who is sitting here, it is applicable. If you have anything blemish, any spot, or any wrinkles, and the whole church is spoiled. The whole church will not be considered as a pure and holy. So every one of us, that is why we know that we are the body. We are the body of Christ. We are one another. Without one person, the body is not complete. This is the body. You may be a external part or an internal part. So most of us seems to be want to be as an external part in their activities. But there are some members of the church, they are internal part of the body. They are very important. They cannot be seen, but they work. They work for the Lord. They prepare the church. They always at kneel before the Lord. Inside, they were praying for the church. The church purity, the church health, the church growth, and the church preparation for the Lord. So in that case, none of us are exempted, as all of us are collectively called as a bride of Christ. Thank you. Secondly, the call to corporate unity. We are called as a bride, as I said, called to corporate unity. Ephesians 4:3-6. Please pay attention to this verse. Open your Bible and see. Let's see. Ephesians 4:3-6. Very, very important for us to know who we are, how we are expected to be. Yes.
Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. One God and Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in you all.
Is it clear what I said? So in that case, everything is one. We are one. We have one God, one Father, one Spirit, one love, one faith. We are one body. You just count about 7 times it is mentioned about we are one. There is no division at all. There should not be. There should not be any misunderstanding. There should not be any disunity among us. We should stand together all the time in everything. Then only we can say we are ready to meet the Lord. We are ready for the bridegroom. Amen? Okay, let's move on. Thirdly, to call to evangelistic ministry, mission. That all of us, we know, Matthew 28:19-20, that is the great commission given to the church. The church has to take the word to the world. Matthew 28:19-20.
Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age.
With that mission, the church was formed. And it is not only evangelizing locally, and also extending our arms around the world, that the church is doing from the inception of the church. So we thank God for the promise, and as the vision, the mission what God has given to the church, and they are the foundation, and God led us according to what God promised. So every one of us, are involved or in this great mission. We thank God for that. If you are the part of that mission, say amen to that.
Amen.
Why you are keeping so silent? This is the mission God has given to the church, I say. I said we are all one together, formed as a church. It is God who initiated. Even though it is a foreign land, in that country we have all the freedom to worship God and live by His word. The church is teaching and building every individual to know God, to attain God when He's coming. Our purpose of here as a member of the church, it is not for the time. Our purpose in this church as a member of the church, not for the time, it is for the eternity. We have to prepare ourselves and prepare others as well. Ayo, to all of us. We have to prepare ourselves. We have to prepare others also. Thank you. So, as a church, the church has the mission. It was set by Jesus, bridegroom. If you are ready to meet the bridegroom, this all has to be done as a church on this earth. Without that, I will not proceed. Fourthly, the future hope of the church as a bride. So the promise of the marriage supper of the Lamb is mentioned in the Revelation chapter 19, verses 7 to 9. Pay attention to God's word quickly.
Let us be glad and rejoice and give Him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and His wife has made herself ready. And to her it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. Then He said to me, write, blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And He said to me, these are the true sayings of God.
Thank you. So in that case, it is very clear, there is a promise of the marriage supper of the Lamb. In how we are going to be, it is not on this earth, it is in heaven, that we are expected to prepare ourselves on this earth. Preparing is not from there. Until you prepare yourself on this part of this world, you cannot enter into the marriage supper. And secondly, the promise to enter eternal union with Christ. When you are going to enter eternity, that is a union with Him. Revelation 21, 2 and 3. I'm not going to read. Please note about it. Here, it is prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. The church, how the church has to prepare, and according to His promise. Thirdly, the promise of new creation. Revelation 21, 1 to 5. So we can read it from there. Because of the time, I move it. So all this time we spend about the bride, not of the as the bridegroom. Let us move on to the bridegroom, Jesus. So in the same verse, Ephesians chapter 5, 25 to 27. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it, that He might sanctify and cleanse it. Who? He might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that He might present to you, He Himself, Jesus Himself, present it to Himself, a glorious church. He prepares, He presents to Himself, not having spot, wrinkle, or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So even Jesus Christ himself will prepare the church. Have you got this? So how the word turns? We are the bride. He is the bridegroom. The bridegroom prepares the bride to meet him. How wonderful it is. We thank God for that. And there are scriptures, John 3:29, Revelation 19:7-9, and also as we read 2 Corinthians 11 and 2, you can go read about it. Jesus as the bridegroom demonstrated the covenantal, sacrificial, and unending love for the church, seeking to sanctify, purify, and glorify his people. Amen? That is the work of the bridegroom. So as an introduction, when he thought about it, that Jesus is the bridegroom, what it shows, the intimate and the covenantal relationship. It is not only intimate, a covenantal relationship between Christ and the church. Just as the bridegroom cherishes his bride, Jesus loves his church with a sacrificial devotion, seeking her holiness, beauty, and readiness for union. This metaphor, the symbol is, communicates divine love, commitment, and the ultimate goal of eternal fellowship with God. Today's world, many believers misunderstand the depth of God's covenantal love. They may approach him casually, unaware that Jesus' desire is for the deep, sanctifying, and the transforming relationship. Recognizing him as a bridegroom motivates believers to pursue holiness, obedience, and the intimacy with Christ. Understanding that Jesus as a bridegroom also reminds the church of his calling to be faithful. The church has to be faithful. The church has to prepare. The church always to be expectant of his coming. As a bride anticipate the return of her groom, so must believers cultivate love and of devotions and the spiritual readiness and a covenant loyalty with to our Lord Jesus Christ. As a first point, we go quickly. Jesus' love for the church is sacrificial. How many husbands are sacrificial to our wives? You know it. And maybe even you should have started before your marriage. Yes, sacrificial love. I cannot deny that. But Christ's love for the church is very sacrificial. Christ's love reflects the selfless devotion of perfect bridegroom giving himself fully for the Christ's redemption. Under that, number one is giving himself for the church. The same reference, Ephesians 5:25. Jesus demonstrated ultimate love through his death on the cross, enduring salvation and reconciliation. This was done on the cross, not only for us as an individual, and also for the church. Let us remember and reminded. Anyhow, once again, we will be reminded. Secondly, enduring suffering for our sake. As all of us we know, Isaiah 53 verses 4 and 5. He bore our pains, sins, and shame so that we could be restored to fellowship with him. So secondly, he endures suffering. And thirdly, he demonstrating A servant leadership to serve us. That we read from Philippians chapter 2, 5 to 8. I'm not reading. Philippians chapter 2, 5 to 8 is love models humility, obedience, and a sacrificial care for all the believers. So he is demonstrating is servant leadership as a servant. Fourthly, love that transforms life. It is not only just love for individual or a church. His love transforms the lives of people. That's what even we started with our song that. So Jesus' self-love initiate change in the hearts and minds and character. As they have become made a person as a new creation. That's what we started with. So in that case, there are many things. So once again as an highlight, Jesus' love for the church is sacrificial. He gave himself through the church. He is enduring suffering for the church. He is demonstrating his service as a servant, as a leader. And he transforms the lives of his people and the church. Secondly, Jesus seeks to sanctify and purify his church. Even though it is the same as before, and even the bride has to be, under the character of bride, we have known that, but now even the bridegroom makes that character. Without him, the bride cannot become pure and sanctified. That's what here. Jesus seeks to sanctify and purify the church. He himself does it. The bridegroom desires a holy and a spotless bride, removing sin and blemish through the word and the spirit. So that is the work of the bridegroom, the Lord Jesus Christ himself. He does it. But the church has to be ready. The church has to be willing. Am I right? As a church, are we ready to allow God to make us spotless, blameless, pure before the Lord? Right. Secondly, under this, sanctification through the word, of course, as we read already, and purity of our hearts and our life. It is God who does it, and we have to just obey it. 1 Peter 1:15, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. And thirdly, spiritual growth through discipline. We have to be disciplined and we have to grow. As a church, as an individual, the bridegroom expects us to grow spiritually. And that is another point of it. Thirdly, eternal preparation for the union. We should prepare to meet the Lord not only on this earth. Yes. During our worship, during our personal devotion, during our personal relationship, we meet. But it is not enough. It is for the time on this earth. But more than that, always look for the eternal unity with him. For that, we have to prepare. We should allow God to do that in our life and as a church. Hope you got it. Am I boring? Are you waiting for it? Right, let's move quickly. The Jesus covenant love is faithful and unending. It's a covenant love. His love is not just like as we say and we hear from somebody, from anybody. It is not like that. God's love is covenantal love. Who will give you in writing, I love you? They may give, they will not be faithful in their word. but it is a covenantal love. So he already made it. That love never ends. The God's love never ends. God's love for the church never ends. And also the commitment through the trials. And thirdly, assurance of eternal union that he gave us, John 14, 2 and 3, and also motivating steadfast devotion. So for 2 Corinthians 11, 2, once again the same verse highlights us. Finally, Jesus' bridal relationship calls for response. That's most important. So number one is, so believers are called to reflect the love and faithfulness and holiness expected to Christ's bride. So we are bridal relationship calls for response. Our response is there. Not everything at the same time. So far what you have said was the bridegroom himself is prepared. At the same time the bride also having a responsibility to prepare herself to meet the Lord. How it is? It is cultivating intimacy with Christ. We should learn to love him as much as possible and show our love to him in different ways. Very basically, obedience. Loving him and obedience. Living a holy and obedient life. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, 3 to 7. And secondly, expectantly for his return. That should be our anticipation. Thirdly, extending love to others. It is not only loving him, and it is expected to extend our love to others. In all things, what did he say? First of all, love your neighbor as you love yourself. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. Mostly, sometimes, even we don't love ourselves. So we should learn to love ourselves and love others as well. There are many examples who are given. As a conclusion, I'll go through it and read it quickly. Jesus, the bridegroom, symbolizes covenantal love, sacrificial devotion, and a faithfulness towards his church. His desire is to present a holy, pure, and glorious bride before the Father. Understanding this calls believers to pursue holiness, intimate fellowship, and unwavering commitment. As a church, we must respond with love, obedience, and readiness, enduring our lives, reflect the bridegroom's standards. By doing so, we glorify Christ, demonstrate faithfulness, and participate in his eternal purposes. Amen. Let's pray and prepare ourselves for the Lord's table. Father God, once again, we thank you and praise you for your presence. Thank you for the word. Even though we could not spend much time to go through all the scriptures, but Lord, your scriptures are in our hand. Father, we pray, let every word what we heard be in our heart. Prepare ourselves as a bride to meet you. Father, as we come to the table which you prepared for us today, Lord, bless the bread and wine, sanctify it. As we are going to take part in this, Lord, help us to show the love and the unity among us. We love you, we love one another. Lord, we thank you as you remind us of your Son, Jesus Christ, his death, burial, resurrection, and his coming. Help us to do so as you want us to be. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Quickly, once again, it is a reminder for all of us. This table is prepared for the children of God, those who obey the Lord. There are different terminologies used in the Bible. It is initiated with the Passover, the Lord's Supper, communion, breaking bread in the New Testament. So the elements what is used here symbolizing the unleavened bread represent the body of Christ. The grape juice represents the blood of Christ. The meaning or this communion is how to take part in this. There are seven reasons or lessons for us to know before you come. Number one, thanksgiving. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, 24 says, he took bread and he had given thanks. So Christ instructed us to give thanks to God for both the body and the blood of Christ. Secondly, it is a memorial. 1 Corinthians 11, 24 and 25 repeatedly said, do this in remembrance of me. Every time we remember Christ who died, we would be free from sin because of him. And we are commanded to remember the death of Christ, not his birth. We remember his death not once a year on Easter, but every day. So, what to remember? His birth has to be remembered when we take part in this table. Thirdly, a proclamation. 1 Corinthians 11, 26 says, you proclaim the Lord's death by breaking bread, and we tell the world that Jesus died on the cross. He is not died for somebody. He died for me. That has to be proclaimed to the world. Fourthly, an anticipation. The same word says, how long we will proclaim? Till he comes. That is the expectation, anticipation of every believer and of the as a church. Notice this proclamation takes place every week after week in the early church. But now we do it monthly. The Lord's Supper took back the Christ's death and forwarded to his return. Fifthly, a reverence to God. It should not be taken lightly. It is said that, verse 27, do not be taken in an unworthy manner. If you don't understand, better stay back. If you have any guilt, any unforgiven sin in you, better to stay back. Why? It has also said to be done with self-examination. We have to do our self-examination before coming. And seventhly, a fellowship of sharing communion between the Christians and God. It is among us and with God. And it has to be done as often as possible. So, the ushers will help you. Please cooperate with them and come in queue, and the time is nearing.